Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Let's pray and let's dive in this morning. Lord, you're good. You're good to us. Lord, you are so good to us. And as we sang in all three of those songs, you're our King. Lord, you're coming. And Lord, you deserve our worship and our adoration. You deserve all that we are. And so, Lord, as we start off this Christmas series, Lord, this morning, Lord, we have a proper understanding of who we are in light of who you are. And Lord, this morning, would you be glorified in this place through your word? And would your spirit be at work inside of us, transforming us and renewing us, maybe for the first time speaking to someone about who you are, and maybe for others, Lord, renewing afresh within us, Lord, our calling of who we are as your people. So Lord, do all that work this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In case you're visiting with us, we do study the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and coming in January, we'll start a new book of the Bible, so hang with us. But for the month of December, we're starting into this series called The King Has Come, and we're excited about it. It's going to be part of every one of our weekend, and the mindset is this, that Jesus, the coming of this little baby, is really the coming of a king. And it may not look like it on the surface as you look at it first glance, but as you look at it deeper and deeper, you're going to see, and what we're going to talk about this morning, is the King has come. And this whole series kind of came to me a while back, a number of months ago, as we were studying and we were looking, and I saw in Philippians this verse right here, Philippians 2, verse 9. Here's what it says. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him. Who's the him there? Jesus. And given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those where? In heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Here's the idea, that there's a moment coming in time when how many tongues? Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that every knee will bow before the King. And that moment is coming, and we don't know when exactly it is, but that moment is coming. And here's the thing. Why not spend an entire month recognizing who Jesus truly is? And I'm excited to see what God is going to do and unfold for you, your family, and for us as a church this month as we approach the coming of Christmas and what we see as the coming of the King. Because there is that moment coming where everyone will recognize just who exactly he is. Now, here's the thing. When I think of kings, I think of the King of England. I don't know, that's just me, but I think of the kings that we have seen of England, the royalty, and all the to-do about them. In fact, in May 6th of 2023, there was a king that was coronated and made to be king. Anybody watch that online? Anyone watch that on TV? Yes, there it is. I don't need a king, right? I'm not even going to watch. I don't even care. Well, I'll tell you, 18 million people in England watched it, and they said roughly 10 million people in the United States. And I'll tell you, there was like maybe one or two hands in all the other services we've had who watched this. But it was a big deal, and they actually make it a big deal. There were billions of people worldwide who watched this. There were 2,200 people who were invited to the special part of the coronation. People from all over the world, dignitaries and royalty. From 203 different countries, people came to watch this take place. There were over 4,000 military that made this a special event, that lined up and did special regalia to honor the king that had been coronated as king. And they said that the number on that was $125 million they spent on this coronation and getting everything in line to honor the king. I will tell you this, at the end, he gets into a golden stagecoach and goes to Birmingham Palace and ends up there. It's a big deal. It's a big deal that they would show up and people showed up and they watched and they cheered and it was a big deal. Now, here's the thing. That's what I think of when I think of the coronation of a king. And yet, when we see the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that we read about that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, we see something completely different, don't we? In fact, when the King of Kings comes, when King Jesus comes, we see him come in humility, in absolute humility. And the time that we have this morning, I want to talk about this. I believe this was done intentionally, that actually that King of Kings, that Lord of Lords, actually intentionally comes with all that, without all the fanfare. He shows up on purpose in humility. In fact, we see it at the very beginning of his story. Luke chapter 2, if you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. At the very beginning of his life, as he's coming, we see humility. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And here's what it says. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was what? With child. Initially, what we see at the very beginning is that this King of Kings and this Lord of Lords, this little baby is going to be born to very humble parents. People, just normal people, right? In fact, what did it say of Joseph? Where is he from? Nazareth, to which later on in Scripture, someone will comment, what good can come from Nazareth? What good thing is coming out of Nazareth? It was so common, so commonplace. Someone would even claim, like, what good could come from there? We see very normal people in Mary and in Joseph. In fact, they're betrothed to be married, and Mary's already pregnant. It's a difficult situation that this King of Kings is going to be born into, a very humbling situation. It's a question mark of God, why to these two people? Why not to the kings or to the rulers or to the leaders of the land? Why to humble Mary and humble Joseph? Humble parents. Here's the second thing. Look at this. Luke 2, 6, 7, as we continue on. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This Christ, this Savior, this Messiah, this King of Kings, he's not going to be born in a palace. He's going to be born where? In a manger, essentially in a barn, in a place where animals hung out. Put in a feeding trough, which is the manger, and he would be the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. This is the one that every knee will bow to and every tongue will confess. And when he comes as a baby and laid in a manger. Here's the thing that's interesting. When I think of a prince or I think of royalty, none of them are being born in the manger with animals all around them. There's already someone there when that prince is born to take care of them, to make sure everything is medically sound. It was organized. It was planned. This is nothing like that. This is we're following orders. We have no plan. We didn't know what was going to happen now. We don't have any place to stay. It's last minute. I will just tell you, he was born in a very humble location. Humble parents. Humble location in a manger of all places. And even the first visitors that we see show up are very humble visitors. Take a look what it says here in Luke 2:8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David," a what? Somebody help me. "A Savior who is" who? "Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Why would he have chosen us?" That's not really what it says. But that's what I think they would be thinking. You're all looking at me like, "That? No, it doesn't. That's not what it says. Doesn't say that." And I'm not saying they actually said that, but could you see them thinking that? Why us of all people that he could tell? You guys are funny. Because you just literally froze. Like, no, no, no. Good for you. "Let us now go on to Bethlehem and see the thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger of all places. They had to have wondered, if this is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Christ, the Messiah, why is he in a manger? Why are there animals all around? This doesn't make sense to us. And it says they went with haste. But here's the thing. He chose shepherds. Take this in for a second. He says, "I'm going to send my son, and I know who he is. He's the King of Kings. And the first people I'm going to tell are a group of shepherds." And he did it on purpose. There had to have been a conversation in heaven of them saying, "Father, why shepherds of all people? Why not go to the rulers in their palaces who can get the word out quicker? Why not go to the affluent? Why not go to the important people in the culture? Why, Heavenly Father, would you go to shepherds first of all people to tell this message that you want to spread around the world? Why start with shepherds?" Can I tell you, it was 100% intentional. He gave them the greatest invitation, the greatest baby invitation of all time with the multitude of angels. He spared no expense to let these lowly shepherds out in the field at night. Those that would have been considered unclean and smelly and dirty, the lower parts of the culture, he went to them first and spared nothing to let them know what his plan was. And can I tell you, he did it on purpose. Today, I would think maybe the first place we would start to tell this information would be on social media, right? Why not wait to 2024 to send your Messiah? And we can get the word out just like that through social media. Number one social media influencer, you know who it is? Has the most followers across all platforms. Any idea? No, no. He's an athlete. I heard it over here. Soccer player, Ronaldo. 800 million followers. If the Lord wanted to let people know, he would have given Ronaldo a vision or a dream or a visitation by an angel and had that sent out. You know who number two is? Just because you're curious. I know you are. Selena Gomez, the singer. And the third one is Mr. Beast. He's social media influence extraordinaire. Anybody, raise your hand if you know who Mr. Beast is. Just try to see who I'm talking to here. Heavy over here, most people. Yes. I went into it like two services ago. I explained who he was and how he got there, and people are like, "I don't care." It's just, I was looking at faces, and it was like, "I just don't care." Okay, so we won't go into that. But here's the thing. Why not wait till 2024 and use Ronaldo for that? Here's why. Because he was coming to the least and the lost and the broken, and God had a plan in this moment. He was coming to let people know, "I'm coming in humility. My son, the King of Kings, will come in humility." So we have this idea of a humble parents in a humble location, a manger. And now we have humble first visitors. God is sending us a message. Now, here's the thing. He could have done it something completely different. When we go to the Old Testament and we look at how God sent messages to people, we have these grand and powerful ways that God got people's attention. The flood, that got people's attention. Amen? That is one way God sent a message and got everyone's attention. He parts the Red Sea. He lets Israel know, I'm going to do this grand thing to let you know I'm with you, even in impossible circumstances. On Mount Sinai, he speaks from above. They tremble in fear. There's this holy moment, and God grabs their attention. And we could have seen that happen. Hey, I'm sending the King of Kings. I'm sending my son to earth, and I'm going to make it big and huge, and no one will be able to miss it. But he doesn't. He comes in a completely different way than we would ever expect, not like earthly kings. He comes in humility. He comes like one of us. This is an incredible moment in all of history, and he comes as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. Now, as we move to the next gospel area and talking about who this baby is, it gets even more grand. Even more amazing, even more astonishing when we look deeper and see who this child is. In fact, turn with me to Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, and Matthew records this account of this little baby and who he really truly is. And again, as we dive in deeper to who he truly is, the account that he would come in humility gets even more amazing. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, here's what it says. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the, who? Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and wanting to not make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. In other words, to distance himself from her, to break off the betrothal and walk away, essentially. Now, here's what it says. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is what? Of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her till she brought forth her firstborn son and he called his name Jesus. Now, how many of you have kids that you are proud of? Okay. I see one, two, three. How many of you have grandkids that you're proud of? All right. How many of you have kids and grandkids that you think are so special? Oh, yeah, there we go. Now, here's the thing. They're not more special than Jesus. I'm just telling you. Look at the lineup of what Matthew just recorded about who this little baby truly is. First of all, it says Mary found to be with child of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. That this little baby is not coming under normal birth circumstances, that actually this little baby is conceived of by the Holy Spirit, which means what? That this little baby is going to be God. Come and walk amongst us. That's an incredible reality. Now, I don't know how special your kids and grandkids are, but that's a whole nother level of special. Amen? Amen. Now, look at this. Second thing, an angel of the Lord told both mom and dad, one from a vision, one from a holy visitation, about who this child really is. This birth announcement coming to mom and dad is given to them by God through an angel. Anybody? Nobody? Had that happen? No? Okay. Your kids are still special, but they're just not this special. Amazing. Look at this. Number three, told he will save his people from their sins. Did anyone's kids save all of humanity from their sins? None. I'm guaranteeing it right now. None of your kids did that. Neither did mine. Number four, His birth was a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. Again, none of your kids, none of my kids. This is unique and special to this baby, this King of Kings. And lastly, he is Emmanuel, God with us. None of you would say, my kids are God with us, right? They may have qualities of the Father, compassion, grace, mercy, but there are moments where you're like, oh my gosh, this is nuts. This is my kid. I can't believe it. Or my grandkids. Maybe they're a little closer to God with us, but still, this is an amazing moment. And here's the point, that this little baby is special on every single level. Literally, Emmanuel, God with us. And yet we look and see how he came. How he came amongst us with such absolute humility. Not like the earthly kings. Not like we'd ever expect. But he comes and walks amongst us. Can I just tell you? There's even more to that. As we dive further into Scripture and we see more and more as Scripture is revealed to us who Jesus really is, it should blow us away even more that he would walk in humility amongst us. Look what it says here in Colossians 1:15. It says this, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and what? For him. And he is before all things. And in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the, what's this word? Preeminence, all power, all glory, the first position of over all things. When we talk about who he is, when we talk about who Jesus is, we see all of these things in him, creator of all things, preeminence of all things. And yet he comes and walks amongst us. The things he created, he says, I will walk amongst you and I'll walk amongst you in humility. Everybody grab that verse card that you came in when you came in. Now, I'm going to read the first two verses that come before that verse card, and then you're going to see what you've been given as you walk in this morning is a reminder of who Jesus is. And you can carry that throughout this week with you as you travel about and you remember who this baby is and how he came. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Here's what it says. God, who at various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. We know that. We have the Old Testament scriptures. As in these last days, spoken to us by his son, this baby, this King of Kings, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he, what? Made the worlds. Now, here's what you have in your card. Who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Do you see in this moment what has happened? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords has come, and he's come in this means by which we will look at him and think, that's a baby. It's a human baby. And yet he comes in humility so that you and I would know exactly who he is. And this is who he is. And so I would encourage you with that card to hold it with you this week. And as you think about Christmas and the coming season and the coming of the King, you have in your hand a very real example of who he truly, truly is. Now, if you're new to the church, if you're coming for the first time, maybe some of this is brand new to you. You would maybe ask the question, why? Why not come at the highest level of the game? Why not come in power? And why not come with prestige? Why, if you're God, do you come as a human baby? I think that's a legitimate question. Why come in such a lowly form with humble parents in a manger, a humble location? And why invite shepherds of all people? When you're the King of Kings, When you've created all things, why would you do it? And I'll just give you three reasons for the closing off of our time here this morning. Three reasons why I believe Jesus comes in this way. The first is this: Jesus comes in humility to demonstrate God's heart of salvation. Let me say it again. Jesus comes in humility to demonstrate God's heart of salvation for you and for me. Here's where I get this from. Philippians 2:5 says this: "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." In other words, what? He was equal with God. Right, correct, right? So he's equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of who? Just point to yourself. Of me, of us. He came to be one of us. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. In other words, he comes from heaven to earth to let people know, in humility, by taking on human form, God's heart of salvation for you and for me. What better way to send this message out if you're the living God than to come and say, listen, it's going to cost me something. It's going to cost me a lot to walk amongst you. It's going to be painful, but I want to do it because I want you to know my heart of salvation for you. C.S. Lewis, in giving a vision of what this looks like, he talked about this person who's walking beside the waters and something valuable that they're holding goes into the waters. And this is what C.S. Lewis writes regarding this idea of God coming for us. He says, "One may think of a diver first taking off all his outer garments, then glancing in midair, and then with a splash vanished, rushing down through the green and warm water into black and cold water, down through increasing pressure into death-like region of ooze and slime and old decay at the bottom of the lake. Then up again, back to color and light, his lungs almost bursting, till suddenly he breaks the surface again, holding in his hand the dripping, precious thing that he went down to recover. He and it are both colored now that they have come up into the light." This idea that he gives us is this idea of a diver diving down to redeem and to save the thing that was lost, that was precious to him. In this moment, as they're diving down deeper and deeper and deeper into the cold and into the ooze, feeling the weight and the pressure on their lungs, they're feeling, and Jesus feeling, all of humanity. The text says that he went so deep, even to the cross, to where he suffered immense, immense pain. Can I just tell you what he's doing there? He's demonstrating his heart, the heart of the Father, to save you and to save me. The heart of salvation. And reason number one I would tell you that he comes for us is because he wants to save us, to redeem us. I'll tell you the second reason. The first one is to demonstrate. The second one is to relate. Demonstrate, relate. And here's the relation. Jesus comes to walk amongst us so that we have what Hebrews calls a great high priest who knows us. What does a high priest do? High priest acts as a middleman between the living God and the people of God. The high priest knows the people and knows the heart of God. It's the middle person in between. And what we find in Jesus is he's called the great high priest in Hebrews. Chapter 4, here's what it says. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession." In other words, don't let it go. Hold tightly onto him. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness." In other words, he can relate with us. Not only does he demonstrate the heart of our Father, but he also relates with us, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In other words, catch this. We have this great high priest who allows us to come to the Father boldly through the throne room of grace. And when we come to him, he doesn't say, I don't understand, I'm God, right? I don't relate with that. I'm the living God. I'm the one who created all things. I'm the King of Kings. Instead, what he says is, Jeff, I understand. I walked the earth. I've been tempted in all ways. I know human weakness. Jeff, I understand. And there's encouragement in knowing that we have a living God who understands us and can relate with us. Can I get an amen? Amen. That actually when we come to him, he's not so high and mighty that he says, oh, get away from me. Actually, he says, come to me and come to the throne room of grace and come boldly because I understand. I know your distance. I know your heartbrokenness. I know what it is to lose someone you love. He says, I know all of these things because I am the great high priest. And let me just tell you, the text that you have on that card, the one who says he upholds all things by the word of his power, is the same one who loves you and desires relationship with you and says, come to me when you're broken and hurting. Here's why. He comes in humility. So he can relate with us. So we have one that says, reason number one, he comes in humility, is he demonstrates the heart of salvation of our Father. The second thing, he comes to relate with us. And the third one, sorry, it's a bit cheesy, but I had to get to relate, to demonstrate, relate, and the third one is clean slate. Clean slate. Yeah, he comes to offer a clean slate. In other words, forgiveness for our sins. And someone might say, well, why can't he just forgive our sins? Like, why does he need to come in human form and come in humility and die on that cross in order for us to have a clean slate? Here's what it says in the text of Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Why is that all important? That he came born of a woman, in other words, human, born underneath the law of sin and death. Why is that all important? Here's why. To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. In other words, he had to be like the ones he was saving. So when we think about why would he come to heaven, to earth, and do all, is because he came to save the ones that needed salvation. He came to walk amongst us to redeem those who he wanted to save. Now, look what it says here. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. How? In him. Through him. It's all through Christ. One last one. Hebrews 9:22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with what? Blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Okay, so he comes, puts on human form, and he's going to offer his blood as a sacrifice for us. But why is that so important? Look at Hebrews 10:3. But in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year. In other words, in animal sacrifices. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. In the old system, they would have to offer bulls and goats how often? All the time and every year. And it never got rid of sin. It only covered over sin. The blood of bull and goats covered over sin. So someone might say, well, we have to keep doing this forever and ever and ever. And God says, no. I've got a plan. I've got a way to redeem you forever, to take care of rid of the sin problem forever. Here's how. Hebrews 10:10, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ for once and for all. The what of Jesus Christ? The body and the blood of Christ. When it's sacrificed, that's going to take care of sin once and for all. In fact, the old Jewish system will continue to run. It says this, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins, but this man, who's this man? Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, how long? Forever, sat down at the right hand of God from that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Those who are made righteous in him is another way to say that. Those that have put faith in him, he has said, my blood covers over your sins forever. Is that good news? So when you ask me, why in the world does Jesus come in humility? Why not make a big scene? Why come and be human at all? I'll give you those three reasons. Reason number one is that he comes to demonstrate the saving heart of God. Reason number two, he comes to be our great high priest to relate with you and I. So we don't have a high priest who can't relate with us, but in every way knows who we are. And reason number three, I would tell you, he comes to save and redeem those that are lost. He comes to offer a sacrifice that he could only make as being one of you or one of me, like us in all of humanity. He comes to offer those sacrifices for us. And that should then help us to rethink what the coming of the King looks like. That should cause us to think differently about Christmas and the coming of this baby when we take in all of who he is. He is both God and man. Now, I've asked for our worship team I would love to walk over to that piano right now and play the song. I can't do that. It's not in my gift range. But our worship team is going to sing this song. We're going to sing it together. We'll have the words up on the screen. And I want this to kind of hit home with us of who Jesus really is as, yes, King of Kings, yes, Lord of Lords, but he's also our humble King. So sing along with our worship team with this.
Oh, kneel me down again here at your feet. Show me how much you love humility. Oh, Spirit, be the star that leads me to the humble heart of love I see in you. 'Cause you are the God of the broken, the friend of the weak. You wash the feet of the weary, embrace the ones in need. And I want to be like you, Jesus, to have this heart in me. You are the God of the humble. You are the humble King. Here in this dusty ground, I bow with kings, where wise men lay before their offerings. I lay no golden crown here at your feet, just this my broken life I offer thee. 'Cause you are the God of the broken, the friend of the weak. You wash the feet of the weary, embrace the ones in need. And I wanna be like you, Jesus, to have this heart in me. For you are the God of the humble. You are the humble King. 'Cause you are the God of the broken and friend of the weak. You wash the feet of the weary, embrace the ones in need. And I wanna be like you, Jesus, to have this heart in me. For you are the God of the humble. You are are the God of the humble. You are the humble King.
I think as I hear this song, it really speaks to two people. I think the first person is the one that maybe has come this morning or watching online and they think, God is so distant, or God doesn't love me, or I'm so far away from anything God would ever want me to be. He probably has no room for me at all. And I think this song and this text says otherwise. God came from heaven to earth to reach you, to reach me. And he crosses this great divide in order to bring salvation to those that would put their faith and trust and hope in him. And so the argument that God is distant, he doesn't care, it's just not a good argument. When we see what the text of scripture tells us, it says that he came from heaven to earth. And not only that, but he goes to the cross to die for you and for me so that we would have eternal life with him. I will just tell you, for those that may think God is so far away, I'm telling you, Christmas says otherwise. Emmanuel, God with us. God has come to dwell amongst his people and to love his people, to love you and to love me. I think the song and the text speaks to another person. I think it speaks to those that follow Christ. Those of us who are already following him would say we're Christians, Jesus followers, however else you describe yourself. It says, the one thing that should define our lives, the thing that should be paramount in our lives, would be this area of humility. If you have God who comes to earth to dwell and walk amongst us in the way and the fashion that he shows up as a humble child, born in a manger, born to humble parents, humble first visitors, he makes a big deal about a humble heart. Then those of us who follow him, what should we be characterized by? Humility, that actually in the way that we love and care for people, our compassion for other people, it should be paramount. It should be defining for who we are. And so those of us who call ourselves followers of Christ, let's follow him, our humble King, in humility. And I would think that's who we are because of the love that we have for him. We have a proper understanding of who Jesus is in the way that he ministers to the broken and the lost and the hurting. And if we want to follow in his footsteps, then we need to follow in the footsteps of our King. Amen? My encouragement in this December season as we kick off this series, and I believe God is going to unfold things to us about who he is as we travel through the text, as we see the Christmas accounts, as we read about who he is as our King. I want to be people who say, listen, God, reveal to me your authority and your power and your kingship. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the starting of this series. Lord, would you show up each and every week, Lord, as we preach and teach your word and by your spirit. And Lord, would you reveal to us who you are as our coming King? We know that you came one time, and Lord, we know you're coming again. Lord, would you reveal these things to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.